Hello, my friends, and welcome. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. We're so grateful for you. And congratulations to all the graduates and their families. We are so happy for you. And now let's turn to God with a word of prayer. Send us, O God, to worship you this day. Remove all that is separating us from you. Be our strength and give us your peace in the midst of life's storms. Give us joyful hearts and ready minds, that we may be open to your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now let's welcome Nathan Drake.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus has fled? Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, for I am thy God. We'll still give thee aid, I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, rivers of sorrow shall not overflow, for I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake.
The Philistines drew up their troops for battle. A giant, nearly 10 feet tall, stepped out from the Philistine line out into the open, Goliath from Gath. He had a bronze helmet on his head and was dressed in armor, 126 pounds of it. He wore bronze shin guards and carried a bronze sword. His spear was like a fence rail. The spear tip alone weighed over 15 pounds. His shield bearer walked ahead of him. Goliath stood there and called out to the Israelite troops, "Why bother using your whole army? Am I not Philistine enough for you? And you're all committed to Saul, aren't you? So pick your best fighter and pit him against me. If he gets the upper hand and kills me, the Philistines will all become your slaves. But if I get the upper hand and kill him, you'll all become our slaves and serve us. I challenge the troops of Israel this day. Give me a man and let us fight it out together." When Saul and his troops heard the Philistines' challenge, they were terrified and they lost all hope. "Master," said David, "don't give up hope. I'm ready to go and fight this Philistine." And Saul answered David, "You can't go and fight this Philistine. You're too young and inexperienced, and he's been at this fighting business since before you were born." David said, "I've been a shepherd tending sheep for my father. Whenever a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I'd go after it, knock it down, and rescue the lamb. And if it turned on me, I'd grab it by the throat, wring its neck, and kill it. Lion or bear, it made no difference. I killed it. And I'll do the same to this Philistine pig who's taunting the troops of God, alive God, who delivered me from the teeth of the lion and the claws of the bear and will deliver me from this Philistine." And Saul said, "Go, and God help you." Well, Saul outfitted David as a soldier in armor. He put his bronze helmet on his head and belted his sword on him over the armor. David tried to walk, but he could hardly budge. David told Saul, "I can't even move with all this stuff on me. I'm not used to this." And he took it all off. And then David took his shepherd's staff, selected 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in his pocket of his shepherd's pack, and with a sling in his hand, approached Goliath. As the Philistine paced back and forth, his shield bearer in front of him, he noticed David. He took one look down on him and sneered, "A mere boy, apple-cheeked and peach-fuzzed." The Philistine ridiculed David. "Am I a dog that you come after with a stick?" And he cursed him by his gods. "Come on," said the Philistine. "I'll make roadkill of you for the buzzards. I'll turn you into a tasty morsel for the field mice." And David answered, "You come on me with sword and spear and battle axe. I come at you in the name of God of the angel armies, the God of Israel's troops, whom you curse and mock. This very day, God is handing you over to me. I'm about to kill you, cut off your head and serve up your body and the bodies of your Philistine buddies to the crows and the coyotes. The whole earth will know that there's an extraordinary God in Israel. And everyone gathered here will learn that God doesn't save by means of sword and spear. The battle belongs to God. He's handing you to us on a platter." That roused the Philistine, and he started toward David. And David took off from the front line, running toward the Philistine. David reached into his pocket for a stone, and he slung it. And he hit the Philistine hard in the forehead, embedding the stone deeply. The Philistine crashed face down in the dirt. May God give us understanding, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Have you ever hit that point in your life when you just felt totally overwhelmed, like everything was hitting you fast and furious from every direction? Like it's more than you can bear, and you just feel totally helpless and even hopeless? This last year or so has been, for many, an especially hard time. And it would be so easy to just give in to discouragement and to fear, and to just feel like, well, we might as well give up, right? And even with hopeful signs that we're starting to recover from the pandemic, we know the challenges are far from over. And there's still so much that's weighing us down. And then I see this story in the lectionary. It's certainly a story we're all familiar with. And if you love seeing the underdogs win, it doesn't get better than this. Here's this huge monster giant, 10 feet tall, with just his armor alone weighing 126 pounds. And then with this giant spear, yeah, he was just a little scary. And the Israelite troops and their leader Saul, they're just totally terrified. They're literally frozen in fear, and they felt they didn't have a chance with this guy. There's no way that any of them felt able to go up against this monster. And then young David, he comes on the scene and he's ready to fight. Not surprisingly, Saul is stunned. And he tries to talk him out of it. I mean, this is a kid. What can he do, right? He's a young kid with no experience, and he's going to take down a giant? No way. But David is determined. And he lays out his reasons. He's been a shepherd who's successfully taken on lions and bears. And he believes that the same God that was with him in those battles will be with him in this one as well. This is not about him, he feels. It's about God. Well, at this point, Saul could see he was getting nowhere with his kid, and so he finally just gives in. Next step, of course, is to get him into some kind of protective armor, but David wasn't having any of that either. It was made for someone bigger, and it just didn't fit. So off it came, and off David went. And what were his weapons? A shepherd's staff, a stick, 5 stones, and a sling. And that's it. That's it. And his faith in God. Meanwhile, Goliath thought David was a joke and started making fun of him and egging him on. And even as David held his ground, and as Goliath came at him, David had something pretty surprising to say. Everyone gathered here will learn that God doesn't save by means of sword or spear. The battle belongs to God, he said, and he's handing you to us on a platter. Well, this just made Goliath angrier, of course, but as he came running for David to take him down, David simply took out one of his stones and slung it, hitting Goliath right between the eyes. And that was the end of the giant. He was a goner. Wow. There's a lot to be learned from this ancient story, and there's a reason it's very well known, not just to people of faith. For one thing, like it or not, every single one of us is going to face giants in our lifetimes. That's the reality of life. We're going to be facing situations that seem so overwhelmingly impossible that we feel we don't stand a chance. And those giants can show up unexpectedly, sometimes suddenly and without warning. And it can be scary. It raises a big question. What do we do when our fear becomes greater than our hope? Well, as we look at David, we first of all see a person of strong faith, a person who has grown in that faith and in trust by practicing that faith in truly hard times. We also see someone who remembers the way God has been there for him in scary times throughout his life, and a person who taps into those memories to give him courage and faith. We see somebody who's just being himself. He's not trying to be somebody else. He's just simply being him and trusting God. He doesn't wear the armor that doesn't fit and belongs to somebody else. He doesn't do what he knows he's not trained to do. He's just him trusting God working in him. He sticks to what he knows he can do, even as he leans into God's strength to do it. And most importantly, he knows that the battle is not about him. The battle is God's. The reason he's willing to put himself out there is because he feels God pushing him to do it, to save lives that otherwise would be lost. This battle is God's, and he knows that the same God that brought him through those battles with vicious lions and bears, that same God will bring him through this battle as well. So what does that mean for you and me? Well, our stories are all different, and so are our challenges. And frankly, what seems to be impossible to one person may feel right up their alley to somebody else. Some days we feel we can overcome anything. Other days we just want to crawl back in bed and hide our heads under the pillow. But the lesson of this story is clear. Whatever we're facing, the battle is God's, and it's already won. Do you hear that? So I know some of you are going through some really tough things. But understand, whatever we're facing, the battle is God's, and it's already won. There's no promise that we will not have hard times. We will. We have only to look at the earthly life of Jesus and his disciples to be reminded that our suffering is not unique. But when we have to face our giants, like David, we can be ourselves. We can draw strength from God. And we can truly, truly trust God to see us through it. My friends, even when we can't see it, the battle is won. I pray that wherever you are in your journey, you'll remember that and claim it. Let us pray. God of love and power, we listen to the stories of miracles and doubt that these things can happen today. We look at the waves of misfortune, distress, misery, distrust, and anger. And we wonder how we can calm those waves. We feel the pressures of power and fear flooding into our lives, threatening to drown us. And we wonder where you are. Forgive us for the smallness of our faith, Lord. Forgive us for our doubts and help us to place our trust in you. Help us to fix our eyes on you and on the ministries to which you've called us. Lord of all, be with us this day and every day. Calm those fears as we face uncertain futures. Help us to let go of our need to control and to instead place our trust totally in you. Remind us to continue to faithfully work for good with gratitude for the many blessings you've poured upon us. When we feel threatened, remind us to turn to you, remembering your saving mercies and love. Lord, we lift up our church family and loved ones with special prayers for those who are going through especially painful and difficult times. We pray for our leaders, for wisdom going forward. We pray for all people that we might come together as your people. Never let us forget that you are with each one and each situation, offering your love and mercy and hope. We thank you, Lord, for the many ways in which you've heard us and brought us through such dark times. For all the goodness you have poured on us, we offer prayers of gratitude and love. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. My friends, every day there is something new. And some days it's beautiful and wonderful, and some days it's hard and painful and difficult. But we have a God who is there with us every step of the way, and we must never doubt that. We have a God who forgives us when we fall and picks us up. We must never forget that. We have a God who loves us beyond all measure as his children. We must never forget that. The battle is won. And now, may you go in God's love, God's strength, God's mercy, and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And God bless you.